Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, everyone, we are back. It's another Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. As always, thank you to all of our patrons over at Patreon. If you would like to join, get early access to episodes, extra things as well, exclusive updates, you can go to patreon.com/RomaPress. And then, as always, like, subscribe at IS Roma Press on YouTube below. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right. Well, the Euro has been, and the, in my opinion, relatively boring. The Azzurri, they flame out, so not having to worry about that. Roma, we had the ongoing transfer market stuff. It has been relatively calm for the most part, relatively calm. But then, of course, today we are recording this. We are recording this Sunday evening. The word went out. So as you could probably suspect, when there are certain transfer stories that several outlets have at the same time, okay, you can get a very easy indication that either a player, a club, usually an agent, is putting word out about why they're putting the word out to everybody. They're spreading the same exact message to everyone, and word is going out. And that is precisely what we got today in regards to Federico Chiesa, who is definitely, in my opinion, going to leave Juve this summer, 1 year remaining on his deal. He has been linked with Roma for what seems like, how long has it been? I mean, this thing feels like it has been going on.
Since early April, there has been like talk. I remember that at the beginning of April, I think there was Filippo Biafora of Il Tempo, our good friend, saying that that is a player we should keep an eye out because De Rossi likes him. So I think it goes back a few months already. Obviously, it became way more intense in the last, I would say, 5 weeks or so since the Euro started.
And this deal is not going to be easy. Now, this is something I mention when it comes to this particular agent. You know where I'm going with this. But every single time this guy has any association with the deal involving Roma, I just have to bring it up. Because when it comes to transfers, when it comes to just negotiations in general, it might seem very banal when it comes to football agents. It seems like there's so many of them. But these relationships that directors have with specific agents, as we see with Jose Mourinho and Jorge Mesh, I've got to say the Portuguese way, as we see with a whole host of players. If this deal, let me just say, if Thiago Pinto was still at Roma, this deal would be done. It would be done because Chiesa is represented by Ramadani, the guy who has a very large stable of high-profile players. Thiago Pinto, very, 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 very close with Ramadani, who also represents the likes of Maurizio Sarri. And even though I also have to mention this, even though I reported it, Roma denied it. Thiago Pinto, he met with Ramadani at their London office before they agreed to a deal with Jose Mourinho. He is very close with Ramadani, who, of course, represents Chiesa. But Thiago Pinto is no more at Roma. And with Ghisolfi, there is not, they have not had many dealings with each other. And Ramadani is not making it easy.
Except for Jeremy Boga, who's also his player and who joined Nice last year with Ghisolfi at the helm.
Yes. So who also, by the way, he has been linked with a return to Serie A. Roma has to have been one of the clubs linked to him. I haven't really.
We were. I wrote about it, yes.
Of course, yes. Boga is an interesting guy, only because if you want to know anything about him, you just send a message to his brother, and he will spill secrets of the deeply held secrets of the Boga clan. He doesn't care at all, but that's we'll save that for another day. But when it comes to Chiesa, this is one of those deals where it does matter these relationships between sporting director and agent, they play a big role. And B, we are also seeing, Andy, and this has the tint to it, much like the deal with Romelu Lukaku, in the sense of, as difficult as this may be to hear or even to accept, Federico Chiesa is a player worthy of Champions League. Now, even though statistically, I believe last season was his second or maybe even his best in between goal and assist in Serie A, he still is far off from the guy prior to the knee injury. And I would say as well, and you have brought it up prior, the personality thing. I mean, watching him fight all season with Allegri, obviously Max is about as enjoyable, you would think, given when basing it simply off of his football, it's about as enjoyable as a kick to the groin.
Yeah, he's near Fabio Capello levels of likability, I would say.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and I expect the same level of analysis too when he inevitably begins his commentary career. But anyways, when it comes to Chiesa and potentially arriving to Roma, as difficult as this may be to accept or even to hear, this is going to be a situation kind of like Lukaku, where we kind of just have to be the last team in the shop window, so to speak. Yeah, if Bayern Munich come, if you have a Premier League team who is playing in Champions League, these teams he would go to before coming to Roma, and that is Roma's own fault. That is what happens when you don't qualify for Champions League for over a half decade. That is what happens when you do not have the funds to be able to lure players of his caliber to the team. Now, whether or not we think he's a good fit, we can get into that just shortly here. But when it comes to this deal, I mean, Andy, I like Federico Chiesa as to whether or not it would be a good fit with alongside Paulo Dybala. Meh, that seems to me like I just have in my head just the amount of injuries, what the bookmakers would put it at for the two combined for games missed this upcoming season, set the mark at 50, and then let's see if you take the over or the under. I like the guy, but the fact of the matter is, much like you're like Lukaku, you are going to have to be sort of the last person available to dance with, so to speak. You are going to have to, unfortunately, be not the final option, but among the last, because other destinations are understandably more attractive from the point of view of Champions League. This is obviously important to him from the point of view of wages. So when it comes to this whole deal combined, as much as I would like Federico Chiesa, man, having to pay a premium in wages, having to pay a premium, I wouldn't necessarily say a premium as far as transfer fee goes, because with one deal, with one season remaining on his deal, you're going to get a cut rate. But Ramadani, you're going to give to him also a big commission. Where are you with this thing? Because there is mutual interest, but clearly the guy is not going to jump at the opportunity when you have the likes of Premier League, Bayern Munich, also potentially available to you.
And that, I think, is something that applies not only to Chiesa, so many other players. You know, there is this other rumor going around that, for example, someone like Atletico Madrid's Rodrigo Riquelme is an alternative to Chiesa. But guess what? Riquelme is also a guy who comes from a team that would be competing in the Champions League. So, you know, in today's football, Champions League is of vital importance to attract players always. So it's a no-brainer that if a player has the quality, has the appeal for other clubs who may be competing for more important objectives than, say, a Coppa Italia or a Europa League title, then he will go and he will wait and he will consider options outside of Roma. As you say, it's Roma's own fault. Does someone like Federico Chiesa raise Roma's level? I think he does. I think Chiesa is still regardless of how the Euros went, and the Euros, I mean, if we consider Euros as a good sample, then Donnarumma and Calafiori are the only decent Italian players in the world right now. So it's not the case. I think Italy as a whole was badly prepared. If you look at Chiesa's recent season with Juve, there is more frustration than celebration. But that's also because Chiesa, with Max Allegri, was being forced to play as a fullback. If there is one thing that Chiesa cannot do and will not do is do the kind of things that someone like El Shaarawy does, you know, where he sacrifices his offensive game for being more defensive-minded for the good of the team. Chiesa will not do it. Chiesa is too anarchic in his approach. Chiesa doesn't like assignments. The whole point of having a player like Chiesa is that he will pull a trick out of his backside to give you the edge. That's what made him special when Italy lifted the Euro in 2021. He led Italy by example, not by following Roberto Mancini's instructions, but by following Roberto Mancini's credo at that point of, let's have fun. And Chiesa in that competition had fun. That's what made him special at Fiorentina as well. At Fiorentina, Chiesa was a dynamic player who surprised everybody by having these bursts of energy where nobody could stop him. Unfortunately, the ACL, which, let's remember, Chris Smalling is responsible for that.
Yes.
ACL completely derails that, takes the wind out of him. Now he's 26 years old, and this is a crucial age for a player in his position. He's a winger, so 26. In 2 years, he's going to start being considered already old for his position. So this is the moment where I think going away from deviating from the football of Max Allegri to something else, something fresh, something somewhere where he could be the face of the franchise. Now, that's, I think, another thing to have for someone like Federico Chiesa, who was the face of Firenze for a while. Just like Dusan Vlahovic was the face of Firenze for a while, Chiesa at Juve went into anonymity. Chiesa did not even come up in conversation of who the face of Juventus was. If anything, Dusan Vlahovic is the face of Juventus. But Chiesa, just sort of with the ACL, he faded into the background. I think a place like Roma, a club like Roma, just like they did with Paulo Dybala, just like they did with Romelu Lukaku, all these players who are in need of attention, who are in need to have the system, the football catered to them and their needs, they've benefited from it greatly. I mean, Lukaku at Inter, the last Lukaku at Inter was a tragedy, was a disaster. The same thing for Chelsea. At Roma, perhaps he was not the best Lukaku that we saw with Antonio Conte. He was still a player who felt appreciated. Same thing with Paulo Dybala at Roma. So I think Federico Chiesa, all in all, regardless if he fits into Daniele De Rossi's system, he's the kind of player, De Rossi has said it a number of times. Which player did De Rossi mention in his press conferences? He mentioned Gervinho, okay? He didn't mention some world-class player that he wants at his disposal. He mentioned Gervinho. He said, I want a workhorse. I want someone who will give me those bursts of energy that will, you know, will help us get the ball from one end of the pitch to the other in a matter of seconds.
It's that's a Sunday what, league guy, man. Yeah. Those are the funnest guys to watch. No technical directions needed. Hey, go out there and score a goal, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you want. Hey, remember the whole point of bringing in Bruno Perez was remember Bruno Perez' entire career at that point was the goal he scored against Juventus.
Goal, yeah.
Remember, that was his whole career highlight. The idea behind a guy like Bruno Perez was, we're going to get a guy who can just run the entirety of the pitch in a matter of seconds and score a screamer. That was the idea. That was not, oh, he's a brilliant assist man, he can do this. No, he's got pace. Chiesa has a lot more, obviously, to offer, but he is the kind of player that benefits from a team that doesn't employ strict rules on what he can and cannot do. He benefits from someone like De Rossi, who's openly said, for example, about Dybala, that Dybala is a player you cannot really tell what he can do on the pitch. You just tell him, go out there and play, and you'll see what Dybala gives you. I think Chiesa, perhaps in quality, is not there, but in terms of inventiveness, in terms of individual performance, he can be that player who makes stuff happen just out of the blue.
Well, and as we remember too, I mean, for probably the first half season of Mr. Garcia, it was basically, there was no
plan,
tactical cohesion.
No, nothing.
It was
no.
Hoof the ball forward, yeah, to Gervinho.
Gervinho will get it no matter where.
Remember
it is.
Remember how many times he would just get it and take on two, three defenders, yeah, and then
not even looking
inevitably
up.
Either
never,
miss a shot or put it in.
Up.
No, not at all. By the way, you mentioned the match between Roma and Juve when Chiesa tore his ACL. Do you remember that one? That was the 4-3 debacle.
Yeah.
When Roma just...
De Sciglio, yeah, scores the fourth goal.
When Roma just, they wet themselves in,
yeah,
the most spectacular of ways.
Leading 3-1.
The only other thing I remember from that match, other than Chiesa, I believe, and so our production staff is on holiday still. I believe that is the single and only start of Ainsley Maitland-Niles at Roma.
Correct.
You want to talk about one for the history books?
The first game at Roma. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, and he was actually the best player on the pitch again. You know, it's like, it's like one of those curses, whatever, you know, those play, or like Jonathan Silva, best performer in, I think, Roma Empoli, something like that, never to be seen again. So
my favorite that we never mentioned, Michel Bastos.
Yeah.
One of my favorite.
Of course.
Goal, again, our staff is still on holiday. Fairly certain his goal came against Sassuolo. I could be wrong, but he had one very early goal, and it was a good one. It brings back some wonderful memories, that match, watching Chiesa go to the floor.
Talking
injured.
About memories, I think yesterday when Turkey were playing, I'm not sure, I didn't, I prefer to let the mystery linger over this, but I'm pretty sure I heard the commentator say the name of Salih Uçan.
Oh my God. Oh, you're good.
I don't know if he was called up. Was he called up? Because I think I overheard that name. And
I feel like you're trying to bait me into my Sally Uchan stories that
I said,
whenever I leave the football world, I will tell the stories of him.
Well, you know, there is a reason he
there
didn't.
There
were
some very late
last...
evenings. We can just say that.
A lot of late evenings with Stefano Acciaro.
Involving substances that inebriate the mind.
But listen, to just go off on a tangent from this Federico Chiesa talk, because again, Federico Chiesa, just to end it in the fact of, does he fit Roma? Again, this is a player whom you should do your best to give. He thrives on liberty, on the sense of creative freedom that you give him. Max Allegri failed at releasing that. Under Max Allegri, Chiesa was a shell of himself. That's not what you want to do if you were to bring someone like Chiesa. Now, if he waits for other clubs, it's normal, because as we said it, Roma did it to themselves by missing out on Champions League football. You immediately lose something in the eyes of free agents and also players who are put on the market by their respective teams. Why should Chiesa settle for anything less than a team who is in the Champions League if he is at Juve, that just got back to the Champions League this year? So it's going to be long. If there is going to be negotiations, they're going to be long. I already know it. People should prepare themselves. Roma should also be prepared to have alternatives in case this doesn't go their way, because it very well could not go their way. There's so many factors at play. You don't know. It's rather early in the summer window, and I think I always feel like Serie A and its major players, so like someone like Chiesa, are the last resort of a lot of top clubs, say like Bayern Munich or Manchester United, you know, who for lack of ideas just sort of, oh, you know, Rasmus Højlund is available, okay, splash.
70 million euros.
You know, so that's what I, if there is something that we need to look out for, is to have that consideration of other big clubs are also on the lookout. Players in Serie A are usually a nice little last resort for them. So that's what I have on the say on the matter. But I wanted to, because we were speaking about Ainsley Maitland-Niles, we were speaking about Jonathan Silva. Now, today was officially, it wasn't officially, but Diego Llorente said farewell to Roma. I just wanted to, well, it was pay tribute, but just acknowledge that this guy, more than, say, even Sergio Oliveira, who came in just for 6 months, Diego Llorente came in, and for a year and a half, you know, without any expectations on him, he showed up and he did his thing, you know.
Yes.
For a guy whose career highlights included Real Sociedad and Leeds United, obviously after his initial spell at Real Madrid as a youngster, he came in and did his job. And Roma, when they took him on, they needed him. They needed someone who could provide us with depth in case of Chris Smalling's unavailability, which was the case. Who starts so many times this season before Ndika becomes a central player in Roma's lineup? Diego Llorente. This is a guy who came in a side that was trying to compete for the Europa League, and he went out all the way with basically, at the when people heard about him, a 30-year-old from Leeds United, a backup, a bench player for Leeds, what is this? And for a year and a half, Diego Llorente, I would say, I rarely do I remember disastrous performances from him. He always did enough, and that's huge for a player who comes to Roma in January, because obviously that's not the month that Roma are known for wise investments. So I think all in all, Diego Llorente, big positive surprise. Can only wish him the best for the future.
That is such the. I was about to say and interject with what you just said there. Think about how many matches for the 18 months he was at Roma. Can you recall one single match where you can remember his name, him making a very glaring mistake, or him being the focal point as to why Roma were getting torched at the back? Because I can't think of there is not a single vivid bad moment. I think
the last season it could have been that Roma Inter, where Marcus Thuram scores
right. Yes.
That he loses him there. But really, aside from that, for a guy who came in on a dry loan a bunch of times, he really did his thing. And he, you know, whenever Roma were trying to replace, say, Ndika or injured Chris Smalling or Gianluca Mancini was suspended, Llorente held his own. In the derby, he was magnificent.
He was, yeah.
So, you know, Dean Huizen tried to, be the surprise of the season. Diego Llorente did not allow him. Diego Llorente still won over Daniele De Rossi and continued to make starts in Roma's lineup. But then on to that, now people are having an issue with Roma not making his deal permanent. There was talk of potentially getting him for 5 million. Now, this is a larger point, because I think the bottom line is you can never make fans happy. You just cannot, because every summer is the same. But this summer especially, I feel like there is something there, because the idea is, first, John, we get the news. Roma are after Mats Hummels, right? So we get a veteran name. First reaction from people is, enough. We don't want to have...
It's 7th of July and you're having to do this already. We're in trouble for the next 2 months.
I know. But I just want to point out that this is the great thing about Roma fans. Okay, so Mats Hummels gets linked. Roma fans throw a fit because Mats Hummels is old. We don't want players that are over 30. Okay, we don't want that. Okay, Roma decide not to renew Diego Llorente, who is 30 years old. The reaction is, why are you not renewing an experienced player like Llorente? Why are you why are you trying to bet on younger players? Who the hell are you? Where are you going to go in the future? You know, if you don't bet on experienced, reliable players like Llorente. In the past, you buy free agents, right? You sign free agents such as Evan Dika, who somewhere were. No, the ownership doesn't have any money. Terrible management. Why are you not spending on transfer fees? Okay. Well, today we get the news that Roma are about to close the deal for Enzo Lefebvre for around 20 million, a little over 20 million euros. Well, now the general reaction is, no, you've spent too much money. How can you spend so much money on Enzo Lefebvre? Who is this guy? Why are you spending so much money? So bottom line is, you can never make everybody happy. I think Diego Llorente is a player that served Roma well, but he served them well in a specific context. The Roma that Diego Llorente comes to, it's a Roma that is an emergency situation. Remember, Mourinho is begging for another defender. I think he's mentioned 10 times Soyuncu. He gets Diego Llorente. He has to make do with him. Diego Llorente surprises everybody. Fine. He's done a tremendous run for a player who came in on two consecutive dry loans. Great stuff. Is this the kind of player you want for the future? Is this the kind of player that should represent the new direction that Roma want to undertake? The answer is no.
No, he is, as you stated, about as ideal of a January sort of reinforcement that you could ever hope for. Nobody flashy, not the sexy, attractive name that people immediately put their minds to as to who would be a great reinforcement or who they even want to be as a reinforcement. That guy was about as steady as you could, as you correctly pointed out. Think about some of the January guys that they have gotten, okay? And you just spread it over the previous decade or two. He may have been the most consistent about them, of them. Again, he was such a steady, just, I won't say a rock, but he was beyond reliable. I mean, I can only recall one time where he had an extended injury layoff, and it was with De Rossi. Beyond that, the guy was present, always available, and he never, ever made glaring mistakes. He was always that presence that you could rely on. There are some guys at Roma hit or miss every single match. Spinazzola, for example. Just guys that you don't know if it was going to be a boom evening or a bust evening with them. Not with him. You could. He was never going to do that. He was never going to, you know, be the one to make some errant back pass or something. You could always rely on him. But no, come on. Let's be serious here. As you said, let's just say that Roma finalized the deal with him for a 4 years contract at €3 to 4 million. Come on. No.
You're gonna end up in the same situation that you're in with Chris Smalling right now, where you're just begging any oilman from Saudi Arabia to splash just a little bit of his, you know, of his net worth, just a little bit, right. Just enough to get him on board, or you know, obviously like Rick Karsdorp. Who's there, who's been here for ages, has now been excluded from Roma's preseason training camp, will train on his own. These are situations that the Roma of the future wants to avoid all costs. What Roma are now trying to do, and I understand there is skepticism because obviously so far we have only made one signing official, and that's Buba Sangare, who's 16 years old. What Roma are trying to do is they're trying to sign players who will not pose such problematic situations in the future, where selling them will not be a problem, where selling them will actually benefit the club, right? Because if you sign Diego Llorente right now, you're going to end up 4 years from now being like, okay, now who's going to take him off my hands? He can hardly move. He's injured all the time. He's not good. He's not reliable anymore. What do I do with him? And he makes 3.5 million a season, because that's the situation Roma are in with someone like Chris Smalling.
Yeah, you can't go down that path. As you mentioned, Enzo Lefebvre, they are about to close for him. I have been messaging with his agent, and I don't know if anybody has ever talked to him, but his name is Emmanuel Lacroix. Google this guy, and he is a dead ringer for the guy from The Sopranos, Dick Barone's son, who tries to sell off the garbage, the company, after his father passes away.
Wait, what's his name? Can you tell me what's his name again?
Emmanuel Lacroix, and it is alarming. In fact, I did a quadruple take at my phone when I looked at his profile photo on WhatsApp. Alarming, absolutely alarming. How much he it's almost as if you can see in the background Paulie Walnuts coming up to him with a lead pipe and hitting him in the back of his knee, saying, "Guess what, Mama's boy, you're kicking up to me." I forget the amount that he says, but it is concerning how exactly alike they look. I'm convinced he got into a second act of becoming a footballer.
I just saw him.
Does he not? It's insanity. Listen, for him, I'm not going to pretend that I have watched immense amounts of French football. Again, unless you are masquerading, having all this time in between your travels, doing all these in between the stops at the Delaware Cougars having a go at you. Perhaps you're watching a lot of French football and I just did not know about it. But this is a guy, the upside is there. The upside, the potential for growth is there. If we are talking about a profile as to which Roma would want, somebody who you are getting for, I won't say relatively cheap, because I know figures, it seems like fantasy football, but 15 million seems like nothing. You know, like a Premier League club splashes 15 million to get the player who can.
No, that's the amount they pay to free a coach who is employed at another team.
Correct. Correct. It is a nothing figure. But for Roma, this is a massive amount. I know that might seem like hyperbole, but it's not. It's not, especially when you add into it the transfer fee on top of the wage, on top of the commission that they're going to give to the guy. This is a very burdensome deal for them. It costs a lot. He fits the profile, though, Andy. Let's end it with this. I mean, again, I know we can't pretend to be the French football experts, but if it just strictly comes from the point of view as to the type of player that Roma should be courting, I think he fits it perfectly. Young, you're getting him at not an outrageously high cost. There is clearly a lot of upside there. And let's see what happens. I don't know. I mean, is midfield necessarily the position I would prefer them to address first? Of course not. It has to be an attack, but
I think the expectation again always has to be, who this guy is coming in to replace. The truth of the matter is that he's coming to replace Houssem Aouar. That's what he's gonna do initially. Initially, this is Houssem Aouar's replacement. Houssem Aouar has been placed on the transfer block after only 1 year at Roma. He's already looking to leave. He's underperformed. He's got interest from Qatar and Saudi Arabia and France. So Lefe is coming in, theoretically, to be the guy that Houssem Aouar failed to be. So, which means the backup to someone like Lorenzo Pellegrini. That's what Lefe is coming in. So transfer fee, sure, big. But this is a guy who's 24, has had a season of ups and downs at Rennes.
Yes.
Prior to that, he was at Lorient. That's where he met Gisolfi. This is a guy who I think if you always have to, it's always like that, you know, players need to be looked after. That's the whole point also of someone like Chiesa. You can't just think that the transfer cost says something about the player, you know, because otherwise you have these expensive transfer operations that then never materialize. You know, I mean, you look at Hoyland's scoring record with United. It's embarrassing for a guy that they paid so much money for, you know, so it can never be that can never be reflective of a player's worth to a team. I thought I had huge hopes for Houssem Aouar for Roma. I thought getting him as a free agent was great. I remember watching him with Lyon in the Champions League against Juve, and he was outstanding. And then he sort of disappeared from the radar, but I was still optimistic about him. With Lefe, I will be more cautious, sure. But I think the idea behind putting forth so much money is exactly that, the idea of a new Roma that believes in the players that they sign, you know, and that goes out of its way to secure the targets that they want to secure. Lefe clearly was one of them. You do not engage in such lengthy negotiations in order to get to a fee of upwards of 20 million for a guy that you do not, whom you do not believe in. That's the bottom line. Is I think this is a signing of a team that has its priorities straight. Today, De Rossi, it was the first day that he was at Trigoria with the team back, part of the team back, obviously, since there are still players missing, those who were engaged in the Euros. And I hope that that is going to be the modus operandi for the rest of the summer, not to settle for cheap alternatives, cheap in the sense that, you know, the convenient alternatives, but to go really go for players that inspire you and that you want to bet on in your long-term future. That's the only way to avoid the mistakes you made in the past.
I couldn't agree more. That is, we mentioned Smalling, his contract. We could go down the list. There are many. If this is truly a new period with De Rossi at the helm, the start of a new, and we all hate this word, project, you cannot be weighed down by terrible contracts, because Roma, they have done that so often, so many times throughout the years, just to beat other clubs to the punch for a player. It is not worth it in the long run. It is not worth the fruit, or what is it? The juice is not worth the squeeze, or is it the fruit is not worth the squeeze? Whatever.
Maybe the fruit, because
one of the two. Yeah, one of the two. I mean, if we just go down the list, not, and forget even the contracts on the transfer market, I'm talking even renewals. The renewal of Alessandro Florenzi remains still vividly in my mind, on top of the commission that they gave to his agent. That has scarred me, and I think that was 8 years ago.
And same things for someone like Rick Karsdorp, who, you know, yes, whom you renewed a couple of years ago until 2025. And he has been almost a player outside of the club for the past year and a half. Because that's how long it's been, 2 years since Mourinho had a fallout with him and everything backfired afterwards. So those are things that you want to avoid. You want to avoid those situations, and in the signings that you will be completing in the coming weeks, that has to be the line of thought, to bet on the future, not on the present. You cannot settle for a convenient free agent operation just because it fits this moment in time, because Roma right now have been faced for the past few years with past mistakes, with the consequences, yes, of past mistakes. So you have to keep up. You have to think ahead. That's the only way to go about this transfer market.
And I can tell they are at least learning some lessons by not being drawn into re-signing Spinazzola. I thought they would fall for it. Thankfully, they didn't. We just need to be patient, though, when it comes to the other reinforcements. It's going to take time. All right, we will leave it there. Until next time, ciao.